So we're going to continue looking at Vision Destiny and how that outworks in reality. I'm going to review some of the things God said to me in 2019, some of the things that my journal included, what happened, some experiences, and some of the things I went through and how God helped me go through them. What does that mean going forward? We are in heavenly seasons, therefore what season are we in? Do we understand that? Or is everyone in the same season, or are we in different seasons? What has God said? What does God want us to do? Where does God want us to go? Now, again, please don't believe anything I say just because I say it. If you resonate with anything, or if you object to anything, take it back to God and get direct revelation from him. But be open. Be open to challenge. Be open to change. I only share information that's come from my revelation through my personal experiences. It's only information to you. For you to get revelation, you need to engage God for yourselves. We all need to know the truth. Truth is a person. We need to know that by personal revelation experience and not intellectual assent or knowledge. So some of the major themes in 2019, the restoration of all things, the oracles of the Father's heart, love's light, happy eschatology, Joshua generation arising in sonship. And these themes run throughout the year through my journals. So this is some of the things God said to me. Son, it is the desire of my heart that all will be restored so that everything will be brought back to the original intention that was formed within the perichoresis. Now, perichoresis was a Greek word that described the circle of the dance, of which is God, Father, Son, and Spirit in relationship with one another. And whenever you see perichoresis, think relationship between Father, Son, and Spirit. We expressed our loving desire within the circle of the dance. Only true unconditional love can fully reveal my heart, and only love will express my intention. True love is only found in relationship. It is lavishly expressed. Now, everything about God is abundance and overflow. Love, grace, mercy, all of it is an expression of who he is, his very nature, his essence, which is love. The focus of love is otherly and is unconditional in nature. You cannot love selfishly. If you love because you want to be loved, that isn't unconditional, and in actual fact, that's not love at all. Unconditional love is given not because the person deserves it, but the person who's giving it is choosing to love in an unconditional way without qualification. You don't have to earn it or deserve it or do anything for it. It is given unconditionally. Only a love that is truly unconditional expresses the precepts, statutes, and laws that are the foundation of creation. As soon as conditions are added to being loved, it is no longer love at all. And it's really important to get this. We must be living under grace and not law. Under the law, everything was obligational and duty-based and by performance. Under grace, it is free and not performance-based at all. The path of the DIY do-it-yourself tree operates on a system of man-imposed conditional rewards and punishment. This creates a system that all religion is based upon. This system brings fear and obligation. I have been misrepresented and love has been perverted into a religious works-based concept rather than the central relational core of the relationship of face-to-face innocence that is my intent. God created to express love, and in that creation, he wants that creation to experience love, and he has done everything necessary to ensure that that creation will be restored to this face-to-face innocence. So whatever we've done, God has chosen to see us as innocent because of the verdict of the cross, and therefore we are righteous. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Son, in 2019, make unveiling love's light your mission within the context of restoration. We need to arise, shine, because our light has come. The light of love will reveal God's heart for restoration of all things. Son, be at peace with those who are at war with you and honor those who dishonor you. This year, because of my coming out with the revelation of the restoration of all things, and over the past 3 years, you know, obviously teaching about, you know, in a sense that death is not the end of choice and that there's a possibility for people to be brought into relationship with God by their choice after physical death. That has obviously caused some people to not like it. And some people therefore have taken exception to that. And often they're not very pleasant in what they say. But you have to deal with that. If you're going to be a forerunner, if you're going to be part of the Joshua generation, if you're going to be able to fulfill your destiny, some people aren't going to like it. Therefore, we need to be able to deal with those who choose to be in disagreement with us with honor. They may dishonor us, but we need to ensure that we honor them and we do not get tit for tat, fighting, arguing, debating, but we bless those who may be cursing us. Son, legislate for the removal of the old system so that new relationships can be revealed, but ensure this is done in love, with honor. Now, I have been blessed by many people in the past who probably now are stuck and are not moving forward, but they've been a blessing to me. And I honor that. I honor those who bless me. Maybe they couldn't take me any further than they had come themselves, but I was blessed and helped by them, and I honor them for that. That doesn't mean that I want to stay there or want people to be stuck in the past. I believe God wants to take us into a glorious future. Therefore, it's important that we see the old systems that are restricting people, holding people in bondage to old covenant and old mediatorial systems are removed. Now, I don't want to see people harmed, damaged, hurt, but I want to see the systems that hold them be exposed so people can see the truth. Son, it's time to establish things on a new foundation. Now, this was some of the things God spoke to me in the very beginning of the year, back in January. And I didn't know what this was going to really mean. So God was saying this to me to, I guess, give me some insight into what was going to take place in the year. I didn't understand the fullness of that. And eventually I discovered that this was a huge challenge. So this challenged my relationships with people, how we do what we do here, what we're doing here, how our blueprint is expressed, through who that blueprint is expressed, the nature of ecclesia, embassies, what is all this about? God was preparing me for the challenge that was going to come. And that was both personal challenge in how I would relate to people and how people would relate to me. And there were some people who it was uncovered that they were betraying and offer and doing things behind my back. How was I going to deal with that? God knew, and he was trying to prepare me. I have given you this year to put all that is necessary in place so that there is a firm and solid foundation legally, spiritually. So what he was saying here was, there are changes going to take place for you. In other words, he warned me 2 years ago that 2020 was going to be a shift for me. And he led me to step down from some of the roles I was in as a bench of three here and other roles with a view of the other people were going to take on those roles. Now, that was a challenge, but I was willing to do that and I was willingly able to step down. I didn't hold on to anything. And I think God was challenging me, and what he was doing was seeing whether I was prepared to let it go. It didn't necessarily mean, as I found out, that he wanted me to let it go. And in fact, what happened was he brought me back into the situations to be able to deal with those situations and bring change to lay a new foundation spiritually and legally. This will be the foundation for the future. Now, when you hear things and hear God say things like this, we don't always know at the time what it's referring to, but he is looking to prepare us. Son, things have to get to a particular place for the motivation for change to be sufficient to make it possible. We're all comfortable in where we are, mostly. And sometimes things have to be challenged and things have to get almost worse before they get better. Often it is the darkest just before the dawn. So I went through some difficult times. We went through some difficult times here when some things happened that then began to motivate change. You are now at such a place and you have this year to bring about the changes necessary within the blueprint as a whole. Now, I didn't really understand what this meant, but it certainly began to be unveiled very quickly. The foundations must be relaid and the heart must be restored at the core so it can flow through all. Love must be at the center of everything because I am love. Now, again, as a bench of three here, we step down from that role to enable others to begin to come forward and relay a new relational foundation. But I didn't realize what was going on within some of those who were in the core. And therefore, God had to bring it into the light. You know, I'm the sort of person who wants to think the best of people. I trust people and I think the best of them. And that means that I can easily be betrayed and let down by people because I want to think the best of them. And I don't want to get cynical and, you know, hard over people. I want my heart to remain soft. And I'd rather deal with something later than stop something happening before it happens because I'm cynical or skeptical or I have a hard heart. That's just, you know, how God wants me to be. So I'm not always as discerning about people as other people might be, because I want to give them the place that they can have relationship without me looking into things in a way, which I could, but I choose not to because I don't believe God wants me to. Love's light must shine through all and for all, that to be effective, all relational issues must be brought into the light and resolved to go forward with the changes necessary. Now, I didn't know what those relational issues were at the time when God said this. So I began to look at love's light and I began to legislate for love's light. And I began then to see things come into the light. And I discovered some things that were going on that actually were in darkness, hidden. And actually some of those things were illegal and certainly immoral, and some of those things, you know, were hurtful, and you know, I felt betrayed by those who were very close to me in that process. And you know, I had to make a choice. How am I going to deal with it? Am I going to deny it or ignore my feelings or deal with them? And I chose to forgive and release and bless. But when you forgive and release and bless, that doesn't necessarily mean trust is automatically restored. So I looked for how that things could go forward. Now, God was bringing the light, and that light of love actually brought things from darkness and revealed them. Son, you must be bold in challenging and facilitating this process, and do not hold back from bringing everything into the light of truth. When things come into the light, I don't want to make things public to bring in a public display, to bring anything negative on people, even if they've done something negative and bad. So I choose to forgive and release them privately, and I bless them, and I don't want to make things public. So I'm not going to bring this publicly into the light about exactly what happened and the things that happened, but certain things happened which facilitated everything changing. And I guess God was behind all that. This process will bring things that are currently lawless back into order with the precepts, statutes and laws as the foundation for all. My heart must be restored to the center of all activity, and lust, love must be the key factor. Now, this was before it all happened. This vision must be brought back to the representation of my heart, and it's expressed in Isaiah 61 and beyond. Our whole mission has been based on Isaiah 61, and God wanted to see us bring that back. Now, I had no idea what that meant at the time, but now we're having a realization that very much what we see Isaiah 61 as may be different from how God sees it. Son, there is a flaw that needs to be addressed, which has caused love and honor, and therefore value to be missing. So there was something fundamentally wrong at the core of what we're doing. When people do not feel appreciated, their value is diminished and their heart is lost. There is no investment in people and therefore no value given to staff. This must change. There needs to be care and pastoral investment into the staff throughout the whole blueprint. Again, this was before I was aware of everything, but God was challenging and showing me what needed to be done. Son, love's light must be restored to the center of everything to reflect me and our heart of love. Son, empower the ambassadors to function independently of you, set the agenda and allow them to develop and outwork it. Remember, I set ambassadors groups. Now, I don't want to set any hierarchical structure over things. I want to do things relationally, and I wanted to empower ambassadors to function. I helped facilitate the establishing of those groups, and now I've withdrawn from those groups so that those groups can continue doing things without me being in them, because I think that's a healthy thing for people to be equipped and helped, but then released. And that's what's happening. Son, help support people in their strategy for laying a new foundation on which the Ecclesia and the Embassy of Heaven can be established. Work with those who specifically know that I'm calling them to be part of a bench of three with the wisdom, both spiritually and legally. Now, I'm still working through this with people. Give them an overview of how the ministers of the church are supposed to function spiritually and legally. We have a number of different legal organizational structures, companies, charitable companies, charities that we work with, and they all have to work together. Remind them that I would rather have an amateur in the new than a professional in the old. God does not want us to do it in an old way. Therefore, he's continually challenging old mindsets, old ways of thinking, old ways of functioning, so that we can begin to have our minds renewed, our minds deconstructed, and come into a new way of doing things. That, for us in Ecclesia, was very challenging in that we had to let go of how we were doing things to embrace doing things in a different way. And that was a challenge. And it was a challenge to say, when God started to say, why do you do what you do? And why do you do this with such a limited menu of options? You think you're asking me what you want me to, what I want you to do, but actually all you're doing is giving me four or five options rather than giving me the freedom of being able to express to you what my heart is. So that was a challenge to how we gather, why we gather, what we do when we gather. And we've gone through that process of letting go of the old to embrace the new. Remind them that they were called to the kingdom for a time such as this, and they have my full confidence. Son, encourage others to join the process for this new relational foundation and help them with legislation and use the use of the legislation using your statute book as an example. So we have a statute book which has been filled with laws and legislation and court cases and various things. And you know, we've released that through the Engaging God program for others to use as a template or at least as a principle to be able to establish their own. It's so important that we actually legislate using the authority that we've been given. Governmental authority is an identity and a position issue. Know who you are and know where your identity positions or seats you. It's so important that we know our identity based on who God says we are and who he made us to be, rather than what we are doing or what we've done. We do things from our identity. We do not do things for our identity. And it's really a challenge when the positions get challenged of whether we know who we are. If you're no longer a pastor, if you're no longer a prophet, if you're no longer doing those things, who are you? And if you don't know, it was an indication that you were getting your identity from what you were doing. We're seated in heavenly places because we're children of God, because we're sons of God, not because we've earned it or deserve it. Take the scrolls and laws into who you are and release them from within who you are, from where you are seated, as a flow of declaratory decrees to bring heaven into the earth. And that I do this all the time. It's my taking on everything that God's authorized, carrying it in my heart, and using that as the motivation and the direction for declarations and decrees to bring things into being. Be the gateway for those decrees to be established from heaven into the earth. And this is true for all of us. We cannot just go to heaven and do things there and not expect that to come into us and affect things around us. We're agents of transformation and change. We have no recognized authority in heaven unless it's operating in our daily lives, as the authority of a bench is just an outworking of identity and personal authority. When you're involved in corporate things, it must be an outworking of what you do individually. Otherwise, that corporate will carry no weight. We need to be living out our own personal mountains, our own spheres of government that we've been given, faithfully deliver, outworking that. Then the authority that we out personally has enabled us to then do that corporately. Son, this year is a key season both for your life and for the Ecclesia. There is an opportunity for new identity to be established both in you and the Ecclesia. Identity is an outworking of destiny, which has eternal purpose in the convergence of eternity and time. And this is what we are. We are the convergence of eternity and time, the eternal now and time in us and through us, so that we begin to bring the eternal now into the practical physical dimension and realm. This year is a Kairos time, opportunity, make the most of it. Put in the time for relationship and strategic government. I needed to focus on those things. Son, encourage my children that they need not fear responsibility, but use the authority as the ability to respond to the strategic positions therein. And I think it's really important. Responsibility, for some people, run from it because they're afraid of getting it wrong, afraid of being judged, and afraid of being disciplined. That is not what responsibility is. Responsibility is actually the ability to respond, not a weight or heavy burden. Son, establish a strategy for relationships to develop foundationally. And this is what I've been legislating for this year. This strategy is for those in the process of laying a new foundation. Those who are willing and will be living sacrifices. This is a strategy for government. Use legislation to create, establish, or remove. Now, in my doing this and using the light, again, this brought all sorts of dynamics of relationship into the light, which had been hidden, some of them for quite a while, within the core foundations of what we were looking to do. And that actually meant that during this year, all of those relational issues had to be addressed and dealt with, primarily by God, but also we had to deal with some of them, to facilitate a new relational foundation, not based on the wrong relationships of the past. That is a challenge. Whenever God starts to challenge relationship, bring things into the light, which are often our motivations and need for recognition, need for acceptance, need for approval, then you'll find that there was a mixture of things going on relationally, which you probably didn't realize. God wants to bring things into the light so we have a strong, solid, foundational relationships. And this is what happened here. And so actually now, none of those original leaders are now in position of government. Now that doesn't mean that God doesn't love them or that there isn't a position of government for them in the future, but to deal with their relational issues was foundationally important if things were going to change. And all of them came to the point where they realized they needed to step down from those roles, and therefore God was at work. I didn't do that. We didn't do that and say people had to step down. We led the process of God challenging people to deal with their issues and deal with them practically as well as spiritually. So whenever God begins to do something new, he is going to bring things into the light of the old that you don't know that are there. That might be in your own life, that things you didn't even ever even realized or imagine are there come to light. I had some areas of brokenness and fracturedness and in my own life that I had no idea were there until a situation brought them to the surface, and then I saw the area of darkness and then eventually discovered what it was. Something happened in my childhood that created that, which was there hidden from me, dissociated in effect. I didn't remember it, but it came to the light and then it got dealt with. And then that enabled me to change in that area. Don't hide things. The Jaharis window is a thing that we use, a strategy we use within our therapeutic community, rehabilitation community, to deal with the self. And there are four windows that you view things from. There is the revealed self, that which I am happy that everyone else will know. And I don't mind people knowing that revealed self. I'm open and honest about that. Then there's the hidden self. Those are the things that I know, but I don't want anyone else to know. Probably because of fear of rejection, fear of being stigmatized, fear. So we keep them hidden because we don't want to acknowledge to anyone else perhaps what we're like or what maybe have happened to us. We keep it secret. Then there's the hidden self. There, that is, the things I don't know about myself that God certainly knows and other people may know as well, but they may be fearful of telling me. We need to create cultures of honor and environments if we're going to establish governmental foundations which are enabling us to be real and honest and open with one another to speak the truth in love. Because if I don't see something because it's hidden from me, if it's a blind self area, I need help from others to reveal that blind self. Now, God can directly reveal that to me, and often he has done, but sometimes it has to come through others or through situations or circumstances that we face that are trials, troubles, tribulations that bring those things to the surface. Don't avoid trials and troubles and tribulations. Allow them to do their work in us to unveil and reveal anything that's hidden that then can be revealed. So I don't want a blind self area. I want anything that's hidden from me to be revealed so it can be dealt with and so I can then move to the fourth window, which is actually true self. This is who God knows I am. This is who God says I am. This is how God sees me. And this is my identity as a son in relationship with my Father God. And all those other three areas need to come together into that one big window, which is true self. And when I know my identity as my true self, then I will be empowered and positioned through that identity to fulfill my destiny as a son of God. So don't hide from this process. What is the vision for the blueprint? Is it written clear and plain so you and others can understand and use it? Now, I understand the blueprint, but the way that blueprint is defined has been evolved and changed. And something we always need to be careful of when we're looking at the foundations of a vision for an ecclesia, an embassy, that the blueprint is clear, then everyone has an understanding of it. How are you going to use current or future legislation to prepare for the fulfillment in heaven? So what am I going to do in heaven for heaven to be outworked on the earth? How are you going to cooperate with the angelic realm and cloud of witnesses to effectively use their support? We don't have to do these things on our own. We have support. We have guardian angels. We have other angels. Jesus said that he could have 12 legions of angels at his disposal. The cloud of witnesses are surrounding us and they want to be involved. How are we going to do that? Develop a strategy with equal focus on maintenance and growth. Sometimes we're in a season where we need to maintain. For us, we've been in a season of upheaval, of reformation, of bringing things back to its original purpose and reshaping all that. And in that situation, growth is not advisable. You do not want to grow when you're where there is instability in the foundation. So we've taken our focus off growth in this season to bring about maintenance, to make sure that we have the right foundation the strong foundation, the correct relational, spiritual, and governmental foundation so that growth can take place. And then God can add. See, God builds the ecclesia. We don't. We provide him with living stones as living stones ourselves, and we have a foundation with a blueprint for him to build, and we cooperate with him. We don't have to do it. We have to be cooperating. So it's important that we are looking for both continual change and transformation and growth, but at times and seasons, sometimes you have to focus on redigging the foundations or renewing the foundations. Better to renew the foundations when there are a few people than try and renew the foundations of a large group of people. It is very difficult to transition a large group of people. It's really difficult to transition a small group of people. So make sure you have the right foundations. And if you establish something new, which I would advise is the best thing to do, do it on a very new relational foundation. Even if you're going to do something new, if you're doing that with people you already know, then the likelihood is there are already relational dynamics in place. Make sure you have openness, honesty, and transparency in dealing with that. Strategy for communication and encouragement of present people. In a process where things are destabilized by change at a foundational level, you have to be able to encourage people that it's okay. Use the equipping track for ministry and discipleship. We have a track, we have the Engaging God program, we have ministry that we have lie busting, courts, we've developed other ministry, we've been equipped in releasing toxic emotions. We have ministry to help people go through this process. Son, righteousness and justice are the key foundations that are perfect expressions of love. And this is the key in dealing with any issues of relationship, righteousness and justice in love. Righteousness must be operating at the center of all organizations and must be seen to be transparent and open. What we discovered is it wasn't, and we had to deal with that legally within our organizations and spiritually within the ecclesia. Son, there is clearly unrighteousness and relational issues throughout the organizations. This must be addressed to enable fresh foundations to be laid. Now, I didn't know who these people were until everything came into the light, and then it was clear. And then we had to deal with everything that had infiltrated and invaded at a organizational level with four organizations to ensure that righteousness was actually lived out in reality. Discord and disharmony causes blockages. If there is suspicion and unforgiveness, these issues will need to be addressed. Openness, honesty, transparency are the keys to relationship. So this gave us an opportunity of revisiting these issues, making sure that people dealt with any sense of betrayal or disappointment or disillusionment that they were facing when people let you down. People do let you down. It's how you deal with being let down that's the key. Deal with it in righteousness and in love. If there is dishonesty and deception in the foundations, it will also be in the building. So make sure you have an open, honest, relational foundation that is operating as a culture of honor in the light. Son, if the foundations are not relationally and spiritually solid, then what is built will not be able to grow the way you and I desire. So this was an encouragement to deal with the foundations. Son, call forth the Joshua generation to arise in India and China and South America and Africa, as in all the families of the earth. Now, we have within the Engaging God program people from most continents, but there are some areas which are less than others. And so I began to call for the Joshua generation to rise up in India and China, South America. Now, we've had lots more people now connecting to us from those areas. We have people who are translating our material into Spanish from South America. I went and did a conference in India, and I'm going back again in 2020 to do another conference. These things open up when you legislate for it and when you call it forth. It's important that we are preparing for the future not just letting it happen. Sun Fam, which is Freedom Apostolic Ministries, is the vehicle for your ministry based on our relationship, the revelation that I'm revealing to you. So this changed in that I no longer function working for the church, but I'm now working for Freedom Apostolic Ministries, which has a wider vehicle and a wider remit. Do not let others hijack that mission for self-interest. And this is some of what was going on that I discovered and got brought into the light. Use living loved, loving living, and living loving as your strap line. This, for me, is such a key to for all of us to know that we're loved. And we live in that love, bliss bubble of unconditional love, free from performance-orientated, works-based, old covenant mindset religion. Then you can love living. Life then takes on joy. But you go through the situations where that's tested. Can you be joyful in all situations? Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, it's easy to say, yes, I'm always rejoicing. But when you face difficulties, then it's put to the test. And then we realize that it's his joy that's in us, so our joy can be full. And so happiness comes from circumstances. When the circumstances go wrong and trials and tribulations and troubles come, happiness is not something that you can pretend to have. If you're not happy or if the situations are bad and things are going wrong and there are difficulties, don't deny it and don't put on the everything's okay, everything is fine face. Be real. Be honest. Deal with it in reality. But it does not mean you have to lose your joy. Life is still worth living. I love living, even though there are difficulties that you face. Then you can live loving. That means forgiving everyone and living in a loving way towards everyone, whether they're living in a loving way towards you or not. So when people say things, when people paint the wrong picture, when people betray you, when people say and make out that you are in the wrong, all those things, choose to love them. Choose to forgive them. Choose to bless them. Don't deny your emotions. Choose to deal with your emotions in reality. Then we're a demonstration of heaven on earth. Free to be is who you need to be. Don't allow anyone or anything other than me to control or direct the course of your life. Now, it's okay to have relationships which are relationships we can bounce things off people. But you need to make the decisions in your life with God and follow him rather than being directed by people. Be careful you don't allow people to control your life. Follow your destiny and fulfill your role as a son within my kingdom. Son, don't be sidetracked by the agenda of others. Focus on fulfilling your destiny both within and without the Freedom Blueprint. Son, releasing and equipping the Joshua generation is still to be your priority, and meditation will become a large part of that ministry. We must teach people to be able to engage from a place of rest to fulfill their destiny. Son, you cannot leave your responsibilities until it's safe to do so when things are in safe hands. So while God told me to leave everything, then he brought me back into it, and now we're establishing things on a different foundation until hopefully soon I can hand those things over. I will clearly show you when that is the case, when you then pursue righteousness and justice in love. We have to continue to pursue righteousness and justice in love. Love must be the motivating factor for all that you do, and your heart must be at peace for love to flow. That's not easy when you're going through difficult situations. But we can live at rest in the eye of the storm. Doesn't mean that there'll be no storms, but we live in the eye of the storm. Forgive and release for blessing must be the state of your heart so you can be objective to establish the truth in love. Son, I am is at rest and at work in rest. That is the key to living life in a fulfilled and contented way. Son, seek to do the same. Live from the center of our being, within the circle of the dance and our conversation. Son, live empowered from within our thoughts, and let those thoughts keep you in love, joy, and peace, which are the foundations of rest. Rest is an expression of trust in me and our ability to protect, provide, and direct. Now, it's so difficult when things start to go wrong not to try and fix them in our own strength. What God was saying to me was, you are safe within me. Here is a safe place within me, within Father, Son, and Spirit, where within that relational safe place, I will help you and I will be with you in this process. So that's where trust comes in. Am I trusting in God's protection, God's provision, God's direction, or am I seeking to do it under my own understanding, according to my own knowledge and my own strength? Rest is trusting that I am good and all that I do is motivated by love and is designed to bless you and enable you to be a blessing to others and to creation itself. Do I trust God in the difficult times? Do I trust God when things seem to be falling apart and going wrong? And for a lot of people here, what we were doing, a lot of people thought this is all falling apart. This is all going to collapse. And in reality, that's what it can look like from the outside, but actually God's at work. And yeah, we had a meeting last week, which was just a blessing. It so thrilled my heart when people that we've been working with, that we've been looking to help, just shared how they felt about what we've been doing. And although we were in this flux, in this turmoil situation of change and transformation, they shared testimony of how we had affected them in love and how that was a blessing. And really, it gave an inspirational love to move forward. It inspired us not to give up, even though things are difficult at times, but to realize that God is good. And whatever is going on, He is motivated by love and He wants to bless us. Sometimes we resist God as if He's the enemy, and sometimes we embrace the enemy as if He's God. Let's be careful that we rest and trust in the goodness of God. Son, you have only just begun to engage the surface of my love. You will be able to plumb the depths of love as deep as calling you to come deeper into me. Now I encourage you, go deeper and deeper into the love of God. Son, you can't even begin to imagine how deep is my love. As I am infinite, there is no end, there is no bottom, there are no sides to my love. God is infinite. Love is infinite and therefore can never run out, can never be overcome, can never be escaped, can never be finite or explainable, but can be experienced. Son, it is only love that can truly redeem, reconcile, and restore and bring about the transformation of those who are lost in self-identity, futility, and vanity, therefore broken, fragmented, and separated in their own minds. Son, love, therefore, I am, is the only power in all creation that can restore my lost children back to my glorious intended sonship. Love is the focus and reality of who God is, and I would encourage you, meditate, engage in love. Son, there is no end, there is no beginning, there is just I am, and you are in the center of my heart's desire and vast thoughts in face-to-face innocence. Son, live from within the rest of love's embrace, live loved, love living, live loving. The foundation that you are looking to establish must be the model of rest for each and every component part of each organization. Openness, honesty, transparency, love, forgiveness enacted in reality. Spiritual and heavenly authority foundationally and practically as the relational DNA running through each component part of everything. Son, it is better to have people involved who are relational and have the right heart and will operate righteously than people with the right skills and the wrong heart who you can't trust. And this is what I actually discovered was going on. Son, your ongoing spiritual input is vital. So having been tested to see your willingness to let it all go, I will now direct and guide you as to what and where I want you to focus on in the future. You know, I was all ready to let it all go and move on, and God had a different idea. Son, your ongoing spiritual input is vital, so having tested you to see your willingness to let it all go, I will take you on to the future. Son, it's time to understand more about the fallen dimensions that seek redemption from their choices, the choices their ancestors made. Now, I've been on a long journey with this. And, you know, God spoke to me going beyond and what that meant. And eventually I discovered that there are other dimensions that have other beings in them that we can engage with. And so having met them and having engaged in some of them, I backed off. And God was just challenging me to push forward. News of freedom will spread as the light of sonship shines brightly and the sound frequency of liberty produces hope to all who are looking for the sons of God to come. Other dimensions are looking for the sons of God. And our sonship is creating a frequency that is producing hope of freedom within those dimensions. The stories of the Shining Ones are embedded as truth within history, and the mythology of all dimensions and seekers of truth are finding them. The frequency of hope is beginning to resonate across the dimensions. I engaged the portals to beyond, and I entered the dimension of the second race, the humanoid, but empty and devoid of light and love. Now, I've shared last year my first encounter with beings beyond this present dimension, and I engaged in one of those dimensions, and this was the second one I engaged. So I went through a portal into another dimension to engage the second race of three that I had engagement with. The dimension seems sterile, devoid of emotion and loveless. People I observed are enslaved without hope. I mean, this I felt such an intensity of this. I felt such an intensity of the hopelessness that was there. And yet I was sent there because some had received hope. They had no life in their eyes because love has been eradicated as an emotion and there's no word within their vocabulary. So this is a dimension that operates on the worst that has come from our dimension and has been, you know, enhanced in that dimension in the worst possible way. So there is no life because there is no love. Their culture and society is technologically advanced, but there is no joy, no expressions of art. All is purely functional. There is no nature, no signs of other life forms. The sky is dark and overcast, permanently grey. All power is drawn from within and the energy is being drained. I met the representatives that I'd met before and he led me to a meeting of all others who seemed like lifeless and devoid of emotion. And so it was a hard crowd to engage, if you like. And I felt this intensely. It was such an emotional experience. The absence of love is tangible. Empty, hollow eyes stare at me. I feel so sad, drawn in the emptiness, then start to feel the compassion rise up in me. And it makes me angry at the loss of love. This was such a terrible place. And yet, God loves those people, those beings. So I started to pulsate. And light began to energize like an electromagnetic pulse. Love's light goes forth like a love bomb. I exploded with light and love. The energy of love's light radiated in the room with love, emotions, and I felt for the first time life begin to spark behind those hollow eyes. I saw faces begin to show a flicker of emotional response as love's light dispels the darkness of their soul and hope is felt. I now talked of love, of the creator and the foundation stone of love and the sacrifice that was made before the foundation of the world. Sacrifice is impossible without love. Now my words had meaning as the truth of love started to shine forth. I had to tell stories of love to convey what love really was in a loveless world. I unveiled love's truth and nature with stories which were myths, with no connection without feeling. You see, we have to connect to these things, and those things begin to create opportunities to engage. The revolution has begun, the seeds of emotion are sown, the hope springs forth as love's light is released. Faces no longer with dead eyes, no longer lifeless, the power of love has been released, and my post is done. You know, what I was called to do was done. I expressed a smile. There was a flicker of response that shows me love has returned and the infection of the leaven of love has begun to spread. This was an amazing encounter. I returned through the portal. The Father was waiting for me with a broad smile and a loving embrace. I felt the pleasure of his heart and I was filled, having been drained by the experience. Son, don't go without being connected to me as the source of love. Just as your soul is quantumly entangled with your spirit, be entangled with me so love is always flowing and light is always shining. The golden cord is not just a guideline but a lifeline, and I desire constant unbroken connection. We need to be quantumly entangled with spirit and soul, but also with God. Son, ensure you're acting in love and forgiveness, and ensure righteousness is your motivation. Son, honesty and openness are what you are seeking to bring by addressing the issues in an upfront way. Don't be intimidated by the veiled challenge of your motives. Value and worth must never be measured by financial reward, and any competition or jealousy must be eliminated. And this is what I discovered and what was brought into the light. Son, I'm with you in this challenge. Stay in the place of rest and let my love motivate you and guide you to do the right things in the right way. Son, the preparation for sonship must include identity, character, core soul issues, position, mandate, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, protocols of the courts, legislative processes. All these are areas that contribute to the overall maturity level of sonship. Now, this was referring to the module I was looking at within the Engaging God program. And when I begin a module, I ask God what the module should be called, and then I seek him for what should be included. And this is what he said. Preparation for sonship, which is the module, must include these things. And therefore, I included those things. And as I went to look at each one of those things, I had a download from heaven of those things which needed to be included in those different PowerPoint presentations for each section of the module. We can have that level of heavenly revelation if we engage in intimacy. I have challenged you to focus on these issues as a priority because the foundations are being re-established and things are coming into the light that need to be addressed. Son, love must be the motive, but love is the perfect expression of righteousness, and love motivates change. There must be no appearance of evil or wrongdoing within all the parts of the organization, and therefore everything needs to be brought out into the open. Son, everything could come tumbling down, or this could be the moment people step up and take responsibility to move things forward. Which reality do you choose? Well, I chose the latter, that people were going to step up, and that's what we're now seeing. Son, look at the financial motives of your heart as you move towards retirement age. Do you trust me for your blessing and provision? I will direct you, so do nothing on your own initiative, but let me give you the solutions as the problems emerge. Now, essentially, you know, I'm not looking to retire from what I'm doing. I'm the son of God. I'm never not going to be a son of God. But practically, you get to an age where you have to put things in place so that things are in place for the future. And so God was basically saying he will direct that, and I trust him that he will do it. He's my provider. And although I don't have a huge pension or anything like that, God's provision will be seen because I put my trust in him for the future. Son, call those to respond to the call to responsibility within the Joshua generation for a fresh start and a new beginning. A new sound can go forth, the sound of hope. This sound will draw different people because it's resonating with truth and righteousness. And I believe when we start to release a sound, people are drawn to the sound. Clear away the effects of deception, deal with the accusations, and restore righteousness to the foundation. Deal with the accusations, restore what can be restored, and deal with destiny robber, so I can pour out my blessing upon you. Now, Destiny Robber is a dragon-like being that has been affecting our blueprint and has been assigned against us because our mission is to help people find and fulfill their destiny. Destiny Robber is trying to stop us doing that. Now, you'll find as I go through these series that God started to challenge me about what to do with Destiny Robber. And eventually, when you get to the latter part of this series, I will share with you what I did and what I've done subsequently to deal with Destiny Robber. I have dealt with it very differently than if I had dealt with it a year ago or even 6 months ago. So it's very important that we continue to grow and have progressive revelation to how to deal with things. Son, you do not need to resign. In fact, I give you the mandate to provide the stabilizing influence at the core. Son, I need to get your attention. I needed to get your attention to focus on uncovering and laying a new foundation. There must be honesty and trust foundationally within the blueprint. This is the first step to achieving this. Don't hold back on declaring an amnesty to bring everything into the light. Son, keep your heart attitude right, but seek righteousness in every area. There will be more that has been dishonest that will come to the light. Seek recompense using the law of retribution. So whatever's been happening, I want to bless those who've done it, but I want to see a recompense in the spirit for what they've done so that we'll bring out that fruitfulness and blessing. Son, I love you. No, let me fill you with my love. Feel the warmth of my embrace. Let love's essence flow through your veins as a life-giving stream. Feel my oracles, the foundation of my relationship with all my children, my passion for you, my burning desire for you to be loved, my intense joy of having you as my child, my deep compassion for you to be whole and one, my overwhelming unconditional love that all wants to bring good to your life. My oracles are to be the foundation of all your relationships and how sons feel about creation and its restoration. Passion, desire, joy, compassion, love are the five oracles that must be experienced in heaven and displayed on the earth. All legislation from heaven must be motivated and inspired by my oracles for it to manifest on the earth. The order of Melchizedek is where three becomes four and functions in the five oracles and is administered by seven. Now there's a pattern of government. Three, foundational government, four, a window, five oracles, seven, administrating. This is the pattern of all heavenly and earthly government, and it has been the oracles that is missing from the foundations. Only in deep face-to-face intimacy with me can my oracles be experienced and then freely demonstrated in response. You can love because I, who is love, have loved you first. No one can know true love apart from me. No one can truly love without first being loved by me. True love must be unconditional love or it is not love at all, but only a very pale reflection of who I am. Love that is not lavish, abundantly overflowing, seemingly wastefully given, and totally undeserved is not me. Oh, how religion has turned this most amazing, wonderful truth about love and therefore about me into the dead works of appeasement and law-driven obedience through fear. Son, know that this perfect love that I am casts out and removes all vestiges of fear from within relationship. All religion operates using fear as its motivating force, and I am is pouring out the wrath of love upon those trapped in fear to bring them into the glorious liberty of love. Now, I want to encourage you to embrace the reality of living loved, of being loved. I'm just going to encourage you right now, just close your eyes and allow love to come around you. Let the frequency of love just begin to embrace you. Let that frequency come around you. Let love penetrate every area within you. Unconditional love the unconditional love of a loving Father for you, his child, that would bring you into wholeness and freedom. Love demonstrated, love's truth revealed. I just encourage you to live loved. Let love penetrate the hardest heart. Let love penetrate the darkest mind. Let love's light shine and radiate with a frequency. Let love bombs explode over your heart, over your mind, over your body. Let love flow over you. Let love flow from the top of your head to the tip of your toes. Let love's light shine and radiate that love. Be loved. Live loved. Love living and live loving.